so that I can make the news, so that I can post about it. Eat out, okay? If you're eating breakfast in the morning, why would you eat at your house when you could go eat down the street? There's no money in you making breakfast. There's no money in you saving money on breakfast. I grew up in a little town called Lake Charles, Louisiana. When I got in sales, I started going to the same little eatery every morning, okay? I did that every day for 30 days until I knew everybody in there. Every person in there. I knew every person by name. I walk in, I had my own table, man. You know, 30 days before, they didn't even know me. 30 days later, I had my own table, man. I know everybody. Hey, man, what's up, man? What's up, Bergeron? Hey, man, what's up? Robbie, good to see you, blood. Okay? Hell, my food got cheap. They're giving me extra drinks. I know everybody. You know what? I started selling everybody. When I got done with that place, then I started gravitating to other little places. Go where the money is, man. There's no money you eating breakfast at your skillet with your kids. Your kids don't even want to be with you in the morning. You know that. 7:45, get to work early. Arrive before everybody else. I don't know what time that is for you. Get there before everybody. Be the first one there. Early bird gets the worm. That will never change. Sit down, create a battle plan. Same legal pad. I might write out my battle plan. Different than my goals. What's my battle plan today? Who do I need to call? Who do I need to get in front of? Who would change my life today? Who do I have appointments with? Who do I need to follow up with? Dude, everything, every person I can possibly call today. Sales meeting. Hey, why don't we do a little meeting? Why don't we do a little rah-rah meeting? Get everybody jacked up in the organization. Robert's helping me with this recording today. How often do we have meetings here, Robert? Every day, dog. 9:05, 9:12, boom, 7 minutes into the deal, maybe 12 minutes into the deal, we're out of it. Just get everybody in, get everybody on the same page, get everybody focused. You got three people in your organization? Get all three people together every day. Get some kind of collaboration. Because if you don't have some kind of collaboration every day, what you're going to have is collaboration. Collaboration, not to have collaboration. Collaboration, not to bring our thing together and say, okay, what are we doing here? Look, this is necessary. This is vital. Okay. I'm getting up early. I'm writing my goals down. I'm writing down a battle plan. I'm working out in the morning. I'm listening to some good stuff. Okay. I try to dress for success, try to look and keep the edge on, looking good. You guys with the big floppy suits, man, you need to get the pants down to something a little tighter. Get back to the slim cut. Okay. You don't need to go for the oversized jacket anymore. It's out. You got to stay current, baby. Got to stay relative. If you're going to drive to work, make it short and make sure if it's a 40-minute drive, dude, fill it up with educational time. Turn that freaking chariot you're driving into a library and eat out every morning. Now, I've done all this by the time I get to the office, 7:45, and we have a sales meeting that's over with by 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. And this is what I've done. And I'm going to sit down. I'm going to create a hot list. Who can I get in front of today? Save a deal meeting. You're a salesperson. Who have I worked this week that I need help with? Who do I need to save a deal with? Okay. I'll give you one piece of data right now that will make this book, this audio program worth millions to you. Every day, have a save a deal meeting. Who can we save a deal with? Who have we worked that yesterday, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, this week that I need help with? Save a deal. Who do I need help with? Help a deal. Who do I need somebody to make a call? Who do I need a client to call? So I'll actually have a legal pad with help. I'll have Mr. Smith, Mr. Johnson. You know, these people need to be called, okay? This company over here, I need to call them. I need help getting a call with Intel, with TrueCar. I need who knows these people that can help me get in front of this person. Massive outbound action utilizing my battle plan. Today, I am going to take massive action, tremendous amounts of activity. Okay. This is my schedule now between 8 o'clock in the morning and noon. I'm going to follow up 100% of yesterday's business. Every person I talked to yesterday, every person I emailed, every person I talked to, every person I thought about, every person that I had a idea about, pow. What up? Calling them back today. I'm going to call 5 clients regarding service updates. Hey, I noticed you've been on our program for a while now. How we doing? How's it going? Any way I can help you with service? That's 5 clients a day. I'm going to call last week's mailers, mailouts, emails, strategies, at least 5 people that we mailed out last week. I'm going to email blast, fax blast, text, whatever the next technology is, post, repost, tweet about at least 5 people, and I would prefer it to be 50 people. So between 8 o'clock in the morning, our sales meeting, and noon, dude, what am I doing? No white space on my calendar. You want to meet the devil? Do you want to meet doubt and uncertainty? Do you want to meet fear and anxiety? Have some white space on your calendar. I promise you, the devil will come meet you before you die. You want to find out the devil's real? Just leave some white space on your calendar. You know why so many people are on prescription drugs today? Because they don't stay busy enough. Chapter 21. We're into part 2 now. Noon. Call client list for lunch. At noon, I'm going to start picking up the phone. Hey, man, I just had something canceled. You want to do lunch with me? Call people for lunch. The more we become a technological, social media, machine age, the more valuable this call would be. Hey, George, Grant Cardone. Just had something canceled. I could be there in about 30, man. Could you meet me? No, Grant. And I got something planned already. Give me another call sometime. Dude, you want to build some goodwill? You want to get people think? Do that call 4 or 5 times a year. You'll never even have to take the client to lunch. But in his mind or her mind, they'll be like, man, that guy's called me 5 times. Lunch out every day. At least be seen out every day. It doesn't need to be a long lunch, but look, get out in the community. Okay, now, lunch is over. 1 to 5. Massive outflow. I'm back to outflow. I'm back to busy, busy. Send mailers to 5 sold customers. Emails. Personal mail. Handwritten mail. Post about 5 customers online. Man, these people are great. Post on their Facebook page how great they are. You can't get a client? Post about them on their page. Post about them on your page. Make sure they see it. Tweet about them. Send mailers out. Mailers. Yeah, I'm talking mail, baby. I'm talking about old fashioned. The old snail mail. Send them some. I'll use every medium possible. I use everything. Look, if I want to get someplace, I'll use a muddy road. I'll use a superhighway. I'll use a wooden bridge. I'll use the Golden Gate. You feeling me? I'll use a jet, helicopter. I'll jump out of a tree. I'll do a monkey on you. Right? You want to use them all. There is no medium more useful, better than the one that works. And this is the big problem with people that are using social media. They think it's the Holy Grail. Let me tell you something. The Holy Grail is getting in front of somebody, Itch Bay. The Holy Grail is work, grind, push, shove, commitment. I don't care if it's a road, an email, a strategy, a blog, direct mail, paper, envelopes, bullshit. I don't care if it's TV, radio. I don't care what it is, flying out of a tree. I don't care if it's an inflatable monkey, gorilla. It don't matter to me how I get to the client, lunches, breakfast, networking. Look, I'll join a multi-level marketing company just to make sure I get to meet with all these people. You understand? I'll go to parties, man. I go to places where I don't even believe in what they believe in. That's what you got to do. Got to be out. You got to be seen. That's what your schedule's about. Now, if you're not working this schedule right now, I'm at 1 o'clock right now. If you're not working this schedule right now, no hell and a wonder why you don't have time. You don't have a schedule. Okay? What you got is the devil. The devil, man. You got to stay busy. You got to have a schedule. What the hell am I doing today? Send out 5 mailers to business contacts. Send out 5 birthday cards. You know how easy it is to send somebody a birthday card today? Dude, just go on Facebook. Whose birthday is today? Boom. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. LinkedIn. I've been not talking about LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. I left them out of all these conversations. LinkedIn. Happy birthday. Oh, you got a job promotion. Hey, Itch Bay. Happy birthday. Hey, you got a job promotion this week. Job promotion. You got to find time during the day to do this. It's never been easier. You old timers that think this is a waste of time. It isn't a waste of time. Hell, there was probably a time when people said 50, 60 years ago, man, why, we don't need a car. Let's stay with our horse and buggy. Personal visits to a client's office. You want to try to make one of those every day. Every day, a personal visit to a client. If you can't make a personal visit, call them. Hey, I could be there Wednesday. Are you going to be in town? 5 to 8. It's 5 to 8 now. I'm not home yet. My wife's like, when are you getting home? But when I get home, I get home. 5 to 8, handle appointments. If you're in the business of retail, you don't have the freedom to just leave, man. You're working at Macy's, Nordstrom's, retailers, flower shop, FDA. I don't know what your business is. Maybe you're doing online stuff. You're paying attention to it 24 hours a day, not the 8 hours that you want to be there. Figure out your day. What are you doing between 5 and 8 at night? What are you doing at the end of the day? 8 to 10 at night, update your battle plan, go home, be 100% with your loved ones. Carve out a couple hours a day. Carve out some hours. Avoid TV. Just throw it away, man. You don't need TV. Anything lots of people do can't be good for you. Make a list of great contacts for next week. Like at the end of the day, I might do this. Who could change my life? Who do I need to talk to that would change my month? What customer would I get in front of that would change everything for me? Who would I have to get attention from that would be a game changer? I go from making $250,000 a year to $2.5 million. Then get some sleep, man, if you can. Okay, so this is what I want to tell you. In conclusion about my schedule, 9 o'clock at night, I'm going to sleep. 4 a.m., I want to wake up. That's the real schedule. 9 p.m., I want to go down. Anything done after 9 p.m. is a waste of time. You guys are playing Sugar Crust till 10:30 at night. Okay. 9 p.m., dude, I want to be down. I don't want to eat one thing after 7 p.m. every night. My wife stays, man, she stays trim all the time. Everybody's like, how do you do that? She never eats after 7 p.m. Don't eat after 7. You'll sleep better at night. Drink a lot of water. Keep it by your bed. Keep a goal sheet, a legal pad. We're going to create these goal sheets, by the way, so you can have Grant Cardone goals 10X with a quote each day that you can write your goals on. 9 p.m., I want to be down. I'm going to a 4 a.m. schedule now. You got to be excited listening to this right now. Come on. I'm getting excited. I'm tripping myself out. Okay? I'm ready to get rich, Itch Bay. Come on, let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. You want it? Do you really want it? All right, professional's commitment. The professional salesperson's daily commitments. Number one, I commit to working my plan every day. My schedule, dude, I gotta commit to working my plan. Put these on your wall. Put them underneath your desk. Keep them in your wallet if you have a wallet. I commit to working my plan every day. I'm not working Fox's plan, CNBC's plan, the customer's plan. I work my plan every day. I don't work my kid's plan. I work my plan. Look, I spend 2 hours with my kids every day. 2 hours uninterrupted. I can't even do the 2 hours, okay? They don't even want to do the 2 hours. They lose interest in me after about 30 or 40 minutes. You would think if you talk to them that I spend like 5 hours a day with them. They don't even care. I get them on a bike. I ride them to school in the morning. Okay. I get up early in the morning. By the time they get up, I'm up. I'm all in there. I'm up. Hey, what's up? You know, I take them to Starbucks. We run down there. I bring them back. It's just me and the two little girls, man. By the time I get back, they're done. They're like, okay, we're done with Papa. Come home at night. I get 30 or 40 minutes with them. I'm done with them. They're done with me. I can get a good strong hour with my wife every day. One strong hour uninterrupted, just me and her doing something fun, talking about where we're going, what we're going to do, our dreams, our goals. My wife doesn't need more than 1 hour. She's good, man. She's good. That's 3 hours. If I spent 2 hours with my kids and 1 hour with my wife, that means I have 21 hours left. If I go to bed at 9 and wake up at 4, I got 7. So what am I down to now? I'm down from 24 to 21, less what? How many hours is that? 9 p.m. till 4 a.m.? That's a lot of sleep, man. That's 7 hours of sleep a night. I can live on 7, right? So now I'm at what? 14 hours a day? 14 hours a day. Spent 3 hours with my family, 7 hours in bed. Is that right? Am I doing this right? Yeah. I got 14 hours left to do what? Grow my business. 14 hours a day. The average American works 34 hours a week. I got 14 hours, dude. I'll do more work in 3 days than he'll do all week long. You got people taking Sundays off that hadn't done Hit Shay all week. And they're like, yeah, but the great book says take Sundays off. Dude, that's because God created the heavens, the earth, the stars, the planets, everything, including mountains and butterflies. And then he took a freaking day off. You ain't done ick day in all month. And now you're going to take Sunday off. Come on. Let's keep it real. I mean, real, real. Okay. Look, commit to working your plan every day. Number two, I commit to a can do attitude with every customer. Can do, man. Can do, will do. No problem. You got it. Whatever you want. I'm here for you, man. You got bad credit? I can help you. You want to buy it with no money down? I'm your guy, okay? You don't want to pay for 3 months? Dude, if I can make that happen, then I'm the can-do guy. I will make that happen for you. No, you know, whatever they say, can do, will do, no problem, you got it, can't wait to do it. You need that kind of attitude every day with every customer in every situation. And you know what? That is not easy because all these situations are different. And you're doing it every day. And you get sick of hearing people just looking, not buying, got to think about it. Now, I'm not there yet. I was just calling. No, no, no. We don't have any money. No, we're not spending any money. Dude, you got to have a can-do, crispy, I mean, jacked up, positive, crazy, insane. I know what you're thinking right now. Dude, this guy is positive. If I could just be that positive. I'm a freak, man. I want to be a freak. Don't you? You want some of that freaky money? You got to start acting freaky. You got to be positive, man. This world is filled with negative. There's no money in negative except for big pharma. They want you down and out and beat up so they can sell you a little blue or pink or white or yellow. I want to be positive. I want people actually commenting about my can-do attitude. I want people saying, dude, you like this all the time? What are you on, bro? Come on, man. I had a banker tell me the other day, man, you bipolar, man? I said, dude, I ain't bipolar. I know exactly what I'm doing, bro. Number three, commit to doing whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Now, this was written a bit ago. If you go online and check out Whatever It Takes and my name, you're going to see a TV show being released under those names. I commit to doing whatever it takes. W-I-T. W-I-T is whatever it takes. What does it take? Whatever it takes. I don't care what I got to do. The best things that have happened to me in my life were because I was willing to do whatever it takes. The first book I wrote, there was no publisher. This book, before it was renditioned to what you're listening to right now, before it won Axiom Award 2013 for Best Business Book of the Year, before tens of thousands of people, 50,000 of people had bought that book, I funded the book, wrote the book, pushed the book to the marketplace. Before anybody knew about the book, knew about me, you know, I did whatever it takes to get the book out there. So you gotta really commit every day. I'm doing whatever it takes. I'm not gonna stop. If it's a wall, I'm going through it. If I gotta get a speeding ticket, then I'm gonna get the speeding ticket. If I have to spend money I don't have, I'm gonna invest money I don't have. Whatever it takes is not a saying. Whatever it takes is not three words. Whatever it takes is a way of living your life and running your business. Number four, I commit to exceeding the expectations of the customer. Whatever the expectations of the customer are, I am going to exceed them. Okay? That does not mean a lower price. That means you exceed the expectations of the customer. That means I give people more than they would have asked for. I was recently at a hotel in New Orleans, checked out of that hotel because I wasn't having my expectations exceeded, checked into the Ritz in New Orleans, where my expectations were exceeded for five times the price of the other hotel. Not only was the food better, the service better, but what really exceeded my expectations was the people that I met at the Ritz. That is where the real value is. It's interesting because Ritz never talks about this being part of their excellence of service delivery. See, for me, it wasn't the great service. It wasn't the bellman that asked where I was. It wasn't the laundry getting returned on time. It wasn't the fact that my room got cleaned up or when I called down and asked for something, it got fixed immediately. For me, how the Ritz exceeded my expectations was not the service, but in the caliber of people they brought to one location that I could actually meet the creme de la creme, the best. So you got to figure out what that is. What's your little strategy to exceed the customer's expectations? Number five, I commit to staying focused on what I want. What do you want? What are you going to work for? What do you want to accomplish? How can you stay focused on that? Laser beam like focus. Now for me, I need a lot of help staying focused. Okay. It may appear that I'm not that focused. Some people that are close to me, man, that guy's all over the place. Wrong. I am extremely focused. I just got a lot of stuff going on and I appear to be a wild man out of control. That might not be exactly who I am. I might be more focused than you think. And who knows? Maybe I'm less focused than I actually am. But the things I want, I'm focused on. First thing to do to get focused is to make a commitment to be focused on the things you want. Number six, I commit to taking every opportunity all the way. Now, when I'm working a transaction and I have this sheet of paper next to me, it says, hey man, I'm just reading this book right now called Sell or Be Sold. And it says, I commit to taking every opportunity all the way. If I read that every morning, then I'm going to start taking deals all the way. Did I take them all the way or did I just tell them about my product? Did I tell them who I am? Sell the company. Oh, we're great. We do the best. Here's the numbers. What do you think? Dude, take that guy all the way now. If you have not made a commitment to take people all the way, then you're not going to take them all the way. Make a commitment today. Make that be your commitment. The professional salesperson's daily commitments. Number six, I commit to taking every opportunity all the way, every time, every day. Number seven, I commit to following up on every opportunity, every phone call, every email. I'm committed to following up every opportunity I'm in front of. Every opportunity needs to be followed up every day. No exception to that rule. No matter the situation, no matter how unlikely they are by, you got to get these disciplines in where every day you're a professional, you're committed, you want to take it to the next level. I'm following everybody up. Every request on social medias, every comment on YouTube, every post on Facebook, every response. You want to build that social medium? You want to build your customer base? Find the time to follow up on every, not customer, every opportunity. Number eight, I commit to being highly ethical in every area of my life. Now, this is an interesting topic, this thing of ethics, because most people, when I say ethical, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm an ethical guy, dude. I'm like, really? How ethical are you? I'm the most ethical person you know, man. Grant, I mean, I'm more ethical than you because I don't cuss. I don't use none of the cuss words. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm with you, bro. I'm with you. You're ethical. But based on whose ethics? Well, you know, I don't steal. I don't cheat. I don't lie. All right. Yeah. But okay. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. It says, well, then you got number eight. Figured out, I commit to being highly ethical in every area of my life. Let me ask you something. When you don't follow up on a customer, is that ethical? When you don't pick up the phone the second it rings, is that ethical? When you don't go all the way with a customer, when you give your products away, when you sell your products for less than they're worth, is that ethical? When you don't follow up a customer that bought your product, take care of them and service them immediately and handle them, is that ethical? Okay. When you don't call and sell the second product, the third product, the fourth product, are you a good company? Are you a good person? Are you a good product? When you don't push and shove your products into the marketplace and make sure you dominate, own, and control the market, is that ethical, man? When you go home at night, your kid says, no, I didn't sell. Papa, did you sell something today? No, son, I didn't. When you tell your kid you didn't, or you're not positive that day and you're not 100% and you didn't work your schedule and you blame time, come on, man, is that ethical? I mean, really, I'm not talking about you stealing stuff and breaking the law. I'm talking about you being ethical down to the core of who you are. Could you give more? Do you have more potential? Could you call more people, talk to more people, get in front of more people? I'm talking about being a professional salesperson here, man. I'm not talking about how long you've been doing this. Could you go to another level? Are you training, educating, reading, improving your skills? To me, that's ethical. Commit. I commit to being highly ethical in every area of my life. Number nine, I commit to making changes where necessary. Look, if you don't make a commitment to being willing to make changes, then you're not even looking at what needs to be changed. I commit to making changes where necessary. I'm constantly altering, changing, looking at where I can improve, fix things, just like I would drive in a car or a plane. Okay. I have to adjust. It doesn't mean I'm adapting or changing all the time or becoming the chameleon, but I do need to adjust when things around me move, okay? I have a road I'm going down. I need to adjust slightly in order to make sure that I'm delivering a great product. If you're not making a commitment to the willingness to change when necessary in order to suffice, grow, and own the marketplace, I commit to making changes where necessary. If you never make that commitment, you're not even going to look at what needs to be changed. Number 10, I commit to educating myself every day. Every day, I'm looking for a piece of data that can change me. That's why I'm moving my schedule to 4 o'clock right now, because I know I need to learn more about world markets, inflation, currency, These are things I don't understand yet. I don't understand how they work. I hear them and I'm like, I don't know what that means. I'm extremely invested in real estate. I need to know more about real estate. I have to know where rates are going. So that means I'm going to have to get in early, get up earlier, learn that, educate myself. I commit to educating myself every day about something new. Now, if you don't have books around and audio programs to listen to and the right websites to go to get data, then you know what you're going to do? You're going to pop out your iPad or your phone, or you're going to have junk notified. You're going to have the push notification, and you're basically going to become a receiver of whatever dump. You become the dump, whatever waste CNBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, Fox, whatever they want to dump on you, USA Today, you become the yard. Hey, let's go dump some stuff over at G's place, you know? So, by the way, let's dump it like to 5 million people at one time, the Huffington Post. See what I'm saying? Look, if you don't make a decision where you're getting your data, that's why I say, man, I commit to educating myself. So be careful when you push a piece of technology that says, yeah, I accept your push notifications. Really? You don't even know what they're going to send you. See, I want to get rich. Dude, I want financial security, not financial insecurity. You're going to make the decision to get one of them. I have to control where I'm getting my data from in order to be financially secure one day. Number 11, I commit to training every day. I got to make a little time every day. I don't care if it's my body, my mind, my body and my mind. I just got back from a trip. I was 2 months, 2 months. Every single day, I made training a priority for 2 months. Why? I want new information. I want information. I want this. This is fuel for me. It gets me excited about my life and my career when maybe I'm losing excitement for my business and my career, my marriage. I want to get new input. I want to take the time. I want to do the things other people won't do. People are forced to go to school for 12 years. They do for 12 years. And then after the 12 years, maybe they go to college. They didn't want to do that either. And then as soon as they get into the workforce and actually get to start making some money, they quit learning anything. It's ridiculous. You go to Taiwan, you go to China. Dude, these people are learning Saturdays, Sundays. They're going to school freaking 10 hours, 12 hours a day. You know why? Because they got the freaking serious hustle on. They want to own the world. They want to scorch planet Earth. They want it bad. I commit to educating myself every day. You want to be different in the marketplace? You want to be a different salesperson? You want people to look at you and say, man, dude, what you got going on, dog? Every day I'm hustling. And that means every day I'm educating myself. And then every day I'm training myself. I'm drilling, rehearsing. I'm doing something. Number 12, I commit to doing the right thing. What's the right thing? I don't need a policy for this. I don't need to go check with somebody else. I don't have to call the priest. Hey, what do I do, man? Do the right thing, dog. What is the right thing? See, I know what the right thing is. Do the right thing. Hey, the right thing might be to speed. It's against the law, grant to speed. No, not if I need to be someplace. I don't want to be late. I want to be early. Okay, I'm just giving you an example. What is the right thing? Do I really need to see what the regulation is, or do I need to talk to the government or have a policeman or a teacher or my parents tell me what the right thing is? The right thing is not always the right thing. What is the right thing? The right thing is to call the guy back. Call him again. Call him a third time. Call him five times. If you're going to call him 15 times, call him 15 times in one day. That's the right thing. Oh, that's too aggressive. Oh, not if you're the right person and you have the right product and you have the right service. It is not wrong to make sure he gets your product, your company, and you. Commit to doing the right thing, not the comfortable thing, the right thing. Number 13, I commit to being the most positive person I know. You either are or you aren't. Okay. Somebody in the room's got to be the most negative and somebody in the room's going to be the most positive. We were having a meeting here 2 days ago and I said, hey, who is the most positive person in the room today? You guys want to vote? And everybody went to two people. I mean, I personally disagree with the two people. Even the guy that won, I didn't think he was the most positive person, but that's what they thought. Doesn't matter to me. The point is, who is the most positive person in the room? Who's the tallest person? Who's the prettiest person? Who's the richest person? Who's the most spiritual person? Who in the room has the most integrity? I'll tell you something, dude. Just decide you're going to be the most positive person in the room. And I promise you, you will make more sales. Number 14, I commit to quit making excuses and just make it happen. No more excuses. In the 10X rule, there's an entire chapter on excuses. You should know every one of them. These are the excuses people use every day not to have the life they want, and then make excuses for not having the life they want. I commit to quit making excuses of any kind. I don't have time. Number one most often used excuse in the world is I don't have time. The average American reads one book a year. His excuse is, guess what? Don't have any time. Dude, you don't have any time because you don't read. Day. I commit to quit making excuses and just make it happen. There's no excuses for not making a deal. No money, no credit, not going to buy, the manufacturer, the economy, the president, the Congress, the Senate, my manager. Wow, please, you're killing me, man. I commit to quit making excuses. Let your kids know it. No excuses in this household. Let your wife know it or your husband know it. No excuses here. Number 15. I commit to making my dreams come true because of my actions. What are your dreams? What do you want? Why do you go to work every day? I commit to making my dreams a reality, to make them come true because of my actions, not because I pray or wish or hope or cross my fingers or believe in some voodoo. Dude, I'm doing something about my dreams every day. The professional salesperson's commitment, daily commitment, are 15. They're right here. Look at them every day. Do you want your dreams to come true? Is there anything you would change on here? Maybe there's some commitments you need to make. Maybe there's something you would change or add. I built this for you. Take a look at it every day. It'll help you. It takes what? I don't know, 4 minutes to read through this? Make a commitment and a daily commitment. The 10 commandments of sales. Commandment 1, be proud, be positive. Dress like you're proud, act like you're proud, and be the most positive person you will ever meet. And definitely the most positive person anyone else, your customers or the people you work with, will ever meet. Commandment 2, dress for sales success. You need to be the best dressed person in the room. People need to comment on your clothes. Grant, I don't have any money. You spend money on your clothes. Spend money on a haircut. Spend money on looking sharp. People will notice it. Doesn't mean you're trendy. It means you look good. But it also doesn't mean you got a suit that's 5 or 6 or 7 years old. And there's a lot of salespeople walking around out there that are not spending enough money on looking great. Number 3. Commandment number 3. See the sale. See the sale. You have to see the sale before anyone else sees the sale. I don't need the customer to see the sale. You need to see the sale. Customers don't make sales. Salespeople make sales. If you leave it up to a customer to make a sale, nothing will happen. Ask yourself this question. How many times have you gone into a sale and didn't see it first? If you don't see it, they won't see it. See the sale. If you can't see it happen, it will not happen. You must see the sale before it actually takes place. It's like the guy playing baseball. He's got to see the hit. Remember Babe Ruth? Yeah, right out there. I don't know if that's folk or truth or myth or whatever, but I know this. I wanted a TV show. I had to see the TV show before anybody else would. You have to know that you get the sale done. You have to know you can get the customer done. You have to see the customer with your product and see the customer owning your product, using your product, going to a register, paying you. Look, if you don't see it, it won't happen. Sales commandment number 4, be sold on your offer. This is the most important of all sales. If you can't make this sale, you won't make many of the ones that pay you. I know salespeople who sell products, they don't even own the product. This is crazy, man. You have to be sold on your product and your offer. If you're really sold on it, okay, like this book. If I'm really sold on this book, I would actually go back and read this book again, not read it once. There's books that I've read 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. I love the book. I'm going to go back and read the book again. Why? Because I forget the material in the book. I wrote this book and forgot the material in it. I wrote the one we're talking about today, dude. I forgot the material, how sick it is in this book. You're selling a product and you don't even own it? Come on, what is that? You know, you got selling Kangen machines. They're $4,000. They convert tap water into alkaline water. You don't even own a machine yourself. What are you, a freaking hypocrite, a liar? You guys sell Visalus. You don't use your own product? What's wrong with you? You guys that are multi-level marketing companies like Nu Skin, you don't even use your Nu Skin product? Come on, you kidding me? You're at Market America. You don't buy your own products from your own self? Crazy. You work at the Boss Company and you don't buy Boss suits? And would you buy them if you didn't get a discount? Would you buy them at retail? Would you buy them at full price? You guys that sell warranties for car dealerships, you don't even buy your own warranty? What's wrong with you? Be sold on your offer. So sold on your offer in commandment 4 that you buy your own product, own your own product, so you can tell a customer what? Dude, I own it. I bought it. I bought it. It's worth it. Do it. How can you do what you would not allow yourself to do? How can you sell somebody else on what you haven't done? Each week, I write a list of reasons people should own my products. Every Monday, we come into my office and say, why should people own our products? Why should people buy from us? Why should people do business with us? Who's having success with our programs? I'm trying to sell me on me. Commandment 4, be sold on your offer. Stay sold on your offer and keep selling yourself on your offer. Commandment number 5, know your value proposition. Your value proposition most often has nothing to do with your product and definitely doesn't have much to do with your price in most cases. What do you bring to the table that sets you and your proposal, your situation, apart from others? Find out what that is of value. Today I was out looking at condos here in Miami. Lady shows me 5 condos. She never sold herself. She dressed successful. She appeared to be proud and positive. I know for sure she missed commandment 3. She doesn't see the sale happening. She thinks she's going to have to show me a bunch of product. Has no concept that maybe the first one she could shut me down on. She's not sold on her offer because she doesn't own product in that building. In fact, she doesn't own any product here in Miami. And she doesn't know her value proposition. Her value proposition is not the unit. What is her value proposition? What is your value proposition? How are you different than the competition? How is your product different? How is your company different? What do you offer that no one else offers? Do you know? If you don't know, if you can't tell me right now what your value proposition is, I assure you, you can't sell it. Commandment number 6, always, always, always agree with the client. No, that's not the customer's always right. That's different. Always, always, always agree with the client. Doesn't mean they're right. Even when they're wrong, agree with them. You're late. You're right. I apologize. Your price is too high. I agree with you. You're right. You're too short. Oh man, I've known that longer than you have. See, when you have something, when a customer objects or disagrees or complains about a product or the way you handled something or some situation, the best thing to do, the best way to make that go away is not to disagree, not to make them wrong, but to make them right, even if it's not true. I know it seems complicated. Just agree. You're right. I agree with you. Dental implant, $15,000. That's a lot of money. Oh man, hey, hear it every day. Hear it every day. Hear it from every person. Every person that gets their teeth fixed complains about the price. Now, how did you want to handle this? Visa or MasterCard? See, just because you agree with them doesn't mean you change it. Now, this is a very tricky thing that most people don't get because they never make it one of their commandments. One of those things, those always. See, if you don't have some always, some commandments, you're going to end up with a bunch of nevers. I want to tweet that out to @GrantCardone. If you don't have always, you end up with nevers. Always, always agree with the customer. Objection, disagreement, handling a disagreement, agree. Even if the customer's wrong, there's no value by you telling them you're wrong. Always, always, always agree with your client. You're right. I agree with you. I'm with you. I knew that before you did. Look, it's often better just to acknowledge your client and agree with them than it is to try to change their mind about something. I agree with you, in many cases, is enough. Commandment number 7, super freak your demonstration presentation. Make sure that your presentation, your demonstration is twice the value of the product. If you're showing a $12 million condo, make sure you present it like it's $25 million. Now, you guys in real estate, I got to tell you, you're awful at this. Okay? You're awful at 2 things in real estate. Number 1, finding out what I want, why I want it, why I'd buy it, how I bought other stuff, wants and needs, remember that step? And you're awful at presentations. You guys show so many houses to you, you've been through it 17 times. Maybe you showed it 37 times. You hate the house now. You know everything wrong about this house. So what? Sell it, baby. Sell it. Tell me why you love it. Tell me why it's great. Tell me why it's incredible. You need to super freak that presentation. Don't show me hurricane windows, man. Slap those hurricane windows. Let me see them not break. No one spends $200,000 on something that's worth $200,000. And nobody spends $12 million because they think it's worth $12 million. The guy that spends $12 million on a condo thinks it's worth more than $12 million. The only reason to spend $200,000, $300,000, $100, $30, or $12 million is because I believe that I'm getting something. There's something of value, some problem being solved that's worth more than the money that I'm given to have that thing super freak your presentation. If you can't say right now you're a super freak when you present your product, then you're not super freaking your presentation. Commandment number 8, be time efficient, be conscious and aware of time. The buyer of the 21st century, the 22nd century, when you're watching this in the year 2414, your buyer will be sensitive to time. I mean, unless we're in some kind of freak out golden age where nobody's worried about anything, I guarantee you people are going to be like, hey, man, let's go, let's go, let's go. My goal is to do as much selling I can in the shortest period of time possible to make the most powerful possible impact I can in the shortest time possible, whether it's on the phone, in an email, or in person. Shortcutting will only cost you time. I'm not taking shortcuts. I'm trying to compact everything to be efficient in a shorter period of time. Spending more time with your client will not ensure a sale. It will not cause the buyer to be more loyal to you. It will actually cause the buyer to say, I want to avoid that guy. He wastes my time. Look, I know people like this. No, I don't want to see that guy. I don't want him to come to my office. I can't spend time with him because he always does this. I just got rid of a lawyer because the person spends too much time. It's not because they charge me too much per hour. It's because I had to talk to them too long to explain one thing to them. It had nothing to do with the money. I, in fact, hired another lawyer that is double the money, but I feel like is more efficient, not with money, but with my time. Spending more time with your client will not ensure a sale, but in fact will negatively, you must understand this, time is negatively impacting two big things, your closing ratios and your profit margins. I can prove to you that spending more time with people will actually generate fewer clients, fewer sales, and lower margins. Spending quality time and knowing what your buyer values will save all parties time. It will increase your closing ratio and increase your margins. Commandment number 9. Assume the close. Always assume the close. Always know. Remember back to see the close? Now we want to see the sale. Now we want to assume the close. Follow me. I'll show you how easy it is to do business here. Come on inside. Let me get you some numbers. Let me show you what it would cost to own this watch. Let me show you what the terms would look like. Let me show you what it looks like by doing business with our bank. If there aren't any other reasons for taking the next logical step, if there aren't any reasons that would stop you from doing this, sit down. Let's figure it out. Oh, you sound so salesy. Really? I sound so salesy. Guess what? I'm a salesperson. I'm a professional that wants to be paid, that would like to be paid. So that when I go home tonight, my little girl says, Pop, did you sell something today? Sure did, baby. Sure did. We're going to Disneyland, little chick. If there aren't any other reasons for taking your next logical step, follow me. These are ways to do this. Make it difficult for the buyer to say no to you. Just move forward. Follow me. Come on inside. Sign here. Park here. Let's do this. Let's make it happen. Come on inside. Let me show you how easy it is to own. These are powerful phrases of a salesperson that assumes ownership, assumes the close, and goes for it. Commandment number 10 from Moses of Sales. Grant Cardone on Sell or Be Sold. Are you paying attention? Commandment number 10. Always persist in the close and ask one more time. Be the most important and hardest commandment of your lifetime. Always persist in the close and ask one more time. Until a transaction is closed, you have provided no value to your client. None. You must assume this position. Until you close a transaction, you have provided zero value to your client. The chick showing me condos all over Miami has not provided me with value. I could go do that online by myself. In fact, I left today and said, hey, I could have looked at all this stuff online. She does not provide me with value until she insists on me buying something for her. That way I can move out of the one I'm in, move into the one she showed me, and I'm happy now. That's when she provides me with value. She should persist in the close until I close or ask again. Most salespeople never attempt the close one time. You're listening to Grant Cardone, Sell or Be Sold. Most salespeople, most professional salespeople, most experienced salespeople that are professionals and have been doing this successfully, imagine this, never ask for the close one time. And then if you don't ask one time, how can you persist and ask a second time, a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time, a sixth time? If you could learn this, this one thing, this one commandment, always persist in the close and ask one more time. Sign here. Oh, we're not doing it today. I understand you're not doing it today. Let's do it anyway. Sign here. Oh man, you sounded pushy. You sound like a slammer. Are you pressuring people? Yep. Be happy to. I absolutely will pressure the customer. Ask one more time. Let's do this. Are you the right person? Sell or be sold. You got customers right now. Be honest. Have you ever had a customer convince you not to close a deal? Sure you have. And then they left there and went and paid more money with somebody less dedicated. Always ask one more time. You're listening to Sell or Be Sold. This is Grant Cardone. Tweet me on Twitter at Grant Cardone. Share this with your friends. Sell or be sold. Share the commandments. Be great. Hey, welcome back to Sell or Be Sold with Grant Cardone. Hey, we're going to get you excited now. I'm shooting this from my studio in Miami Beach, Florida. Chapter 22, Quick Tips to Conquer the Biggest Challenges You Will Face in Selling. Look, I know what they are. I've been doing this for 30 years. I'm telling you the exact challenges you're going to face as a new person, the challenges you'll face as an experienced person, so that you can know where the roadblocks are. You can look forward and say, okay, these are coming because they're going to come. Salespeople were surveyed as a result of this book and many of the other programs that I've done over the last 25 years, were surveyed to discover what their biggest challenges were in selling. Their top answers have been compiled in this chapter. Whether one of these is an issue for you or not, or ever becomes one, you might be interested in what others suggest their challenges have been and might have been, and my brief thoughts, if I can keep it brief, might be to handling them. The first one is rejection. Look, everybody knows that sales, business, entrepreneurship comes with rejection. Rejection is not a salesperson's issue. That's right. I just told you that rejection is actually not confined to sales. It is part of the human condition. This is what you have to do. Rework your thinking. It's part of the human condition. Rejection is just part of being on this planet. A guy once told me, man, I couldn't be in sales because I don't like rejection. I'm like, bro, you need to check off of planet Earth. Like literally you got to figure out how to detach from gravity because planet Earth is about people telling you no. Rejection is part of the human condition and an experience or an illusion. It's an illusion created by the person experiencing it. If you don't like rejection, well, that just makes you more normal. I mean, who would? Who would be like, dude, I love rejection. I like being told no. It makes me excited. You're psychotic. If you don't like rejection, that just makes you a normal person. I don't want you to think about, oh, you're weak or insecure or you can't handle it or you're not made out for sales because you don't like rejection. Nobody does. I've never met anyone who likes rejection. I've never met anybody like, oh, yeah, I dig it. I like being told no. I'd much rather people just say, yeah, I'll buy it. Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, that sounds right to me, but that's not the real world. Also, if you think you can avoid rejection, again, folks, you're on the wrong planet. Gravity, by its very nature, is a form of rejection. Otherwise, we'd all be flying around, which we should be, right? The fact that that gravity holds you down, you might see that as a positive thing, but the reality is, man, just imagine if it was just half the amount of gravity, you could just like jump around. You wouldn't even need automobiles or planes. If there's something you want and you ask someone to help you with it and that person then declines you, gravity, then you experience rejection. So you either walk away disappointed, rejected, sad, or you see my 4-year-old, she gets all disappointed. I was negotiating with her last night. I didn't give her, hey, Papa, give me some gum. I said, baby, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you all my gum if you give me 2 packs of gum. I was negotiating. I'm trying to teach her. And then when we started playing the game, she started crying. Because she didn't get what she wanted. I don't know where she learned that from. I didn't teach her how to cry. She's not watching her mom and daddy walk around crying all the time every time they don't get what they want. She immediately didn't get what she wanted, felt rejected, uses emotions to try to handle the situation. So look, when you get told no, you either walk away disappointed, rejected, or sad. Or you could dig in, not dig in too deep, and figure out how to get that person that just told you no to support what it is you want. Now, this is a skill that you have to develop. This is going to come from training, practicing, drilling, rehearsing.
You need to practice and drill people telling you no, rejecting you. For example, if a homeless person rejected when he gets told no for the moment he asks for a quarter. Hey, how about a quarter, man? Quarter and a cigarette. Well, what's he do? How's he handle this? He gets told no for asking for a quarter. Maybe he needs, what he needs to do is change his presentation and his offer. You know, he doesn't need to change his clothes. I say this all the time. Man, a homeless guy, you would never ask a homeless guy to change his clothes or go take a bath. That's not the problem. When a rich boy asks a girl out and the girl says no, and by the way, he's rich, was he rejected? Maybe she doesn't want to go out with a rich boy. Maybe she thinks rich boys get everything they want, or my family's going to think less of me, or my brother's going to make fun of me, or somebody's going to call me a gold digger. You see, you think, many of you think the rich boy just gets whatever he wants, but the truth is there's a lot of good girls out there who would be like, nope, because of whatever. Was he rejected in that moment? Maybe. Maybe he just needs to change his presentation or his offer. Or maybe he needs to come off like he's not a rich guy. Maybe the rich guy, the thing that many poor people think, oh boy, if I was rich, I could get anything I wanted. Maybe, maybe not. See, in this case, I just took two extremes. One was a homeless guy and the other was a rich guy. And they both got told no. See, I think the experience of rejection as an emotion, that's what I do. I say, is this an emotion? Is this a logical response? Should I get sad like my daughter did? Is actually what happens to a person that has low responsibility. A low responsibility level results in people getting emotional. My daughter crying means she doesn't know how to do this. So what does she do? She knows how to cry. She ran out of material. Papa said, I'll give you 13 pieces of gum. I want all of your gum, 26 pieces. She says, no, Papa, that's not fair. And I said, yeah, that's the deal. And she started crying. It's because she's not trained. So what does she do? She goes to what she knows. She cries. She makes sense of not getting what she wants. She got sold. She quit selling because she's not experienced. This happens to everybody. It's happening to you, I guarantee. You want to go to the next level, you have to learn how to handle this thing called rejection, this emotion. See, I think and I want to repeat this, I think the experience of rejection as an emotion is actually what happens with people that have low responsibility. And just because you have low responsibility doesn't make you a bad person. Because a person with high responsibility would actually say, hey, I could actually raise my responsibility higher, right? A person with low responsibility would actually take offense to me saying they have low responsibility. You get it? A person with high responsibility would say what? Yeah, I probably am lower than I should be. See, I don't get what I want. So now I'm going to feel sorry for myself. I'm going to label it rejection, even though why do we even call it that? I mean, really, why do you call it that? You don't have anything to define this as rejection, but you did say this is rejection, but you have no litmus test, no chemical test, no blood test, no urine test to say, oh, he said no, and that's rejection. You're the one that decided this is rejection. Look, ain't nothing happening to you. Remember that in the 10X rule? There's nothing happening to you. It's happening because of you. Quit acting like a victim. Change your positioning. He says, no, that didn't happen to me. It happened because of me. Man, if you could get this one point, it'd be unbelievable for you as a professional salesperson. People don't tell you no because of their position. They tell you no because of what you presented. How you handle rejection is the key. We're going to slice this off as this one CD, okay, that we're going to offer to people. Rob, make a note to Polly. This is going to be awesome for him. You can keep all this in there too, Robert. Don't even worry about taking this out right here. Look, how you handle rejection is the key. Try to avoid it and you're doomed. You're done. You're finished. You're going to withdraw. You see, because the moment I say, oh, they rejected me, I'm actually pulling away from an event. If you start to think less of your product or offer after you were told no, even slightly less about your product or offer after being told no, then you're being sold on someone else's agenda, which, oh, by the way, they're probably not even completely convinced of. Grant, what are you talking about? You're driving in the car right now listening to me, or you're at your house, or you downloaded this on your phone and you weren't quite paying attention. Check it out, what I'm telling you. Cat told you no about your house. You had your house on the market and the guy says, that's way overpriced. Okay. And he left, and you're sitting there in the kitchen thinking, oh man, tell your wife, oh wow, the house is overpriced. You're actually thinking about lowering the price. See, you're withdrawing. You've been affected emotionally by this guy's input. He sold you on his agenda. He, by the way, you don't know this, goes down the street and looks at two other houses and realizes, man, that guy Cardone, man, his house is really priced fairly. It's a nice kitchen, nice view, big garage. I love the way the master bedroom was. The kitchen was really taken care of. Man, that's really a good deal over there compared to these other two houses. See, he temporarily had something come out of his face saying your price is too high. You bought it. You feel a bit rejected. That's what rejection is. You bought it. See, when you're told no or not yet or we bought from someone else, have you been rejected really? You'll only feel rejection as a negative sensation, emotion, if you do not take full responsibility for your situation. You will only feel rejection as a negative sensation and emotion if you don't take full responsibility for the situation. When I'm told no, I don't equate it with rejection. What I do is I start to think, I don't think less of my product or my offer because of it. I know, oh, wow, man, I'm having this moment. He said no, I could feel rejection. See, when I'm told no, I don't equate it with that. I'm conscious and aware and responsible that could happen. I look at what I could do differently next time to earn the business. How could I be more effective next time? How could I debrief right now after the sale? With our program, Cardone University, we actually encourage salespeople. There's thousands of salespeople that use that program to debrief after a sale. I didn't make the sale. They said no. They said they need to think about it. They went and bought from somebody else. I can actually go into the platform on my phone, my iPad, or my computer, pop in, boom, what do I do? Payment buyer, I got to think about it. I bought from somebody else. What can I do to debrief that situation so next time I can be better at that position? How can I be more effective? How can I turn this person into a buyer next time? No one says to you, get ready. I'm about to reject you. Okay? Bone up. I'm about to tell you no. See, you're creating this illusion. I want to sell you that you're creating this illusion that you're being rejected. Rejection is experienced by those unwilling to be responsible for the outcome. Rejection is experienced by those unwilling to be responsible for the outcome. Tweet me at Grant Cardone. That one statement right there, and I'll know you're reading the book. Rejection is experienced by those unwilling to be responsible for the outcome. Negative surroundings. This is a major area of problems for salespeople because we've heard about it thousands and thousands of times through strategies, people that follow our email strategy that we send out each week. By the way, you can get that at CardoneSuccess.com. CardoneSuccess.com. You can get a weekly sales and business expansion strategy for free. And we hear salespeople constantly, what do you do about a negative environment? Being surrounded by environments that are negative will, for most people, will reduce their environment. I mean, unless you're like Kanye. See, Kanye or I guess JC, you know, these guys were like, they were propelled by their negative environments to get out. But look, if you stay in that negative environment, even once you're successful, it's going to pull you back down again. You've seen many people that were extremely creative that end up, you know, imploding on themselves because they continue to stay around people that were vampires and negatives and bloodsuckers and creative suckers and just pull the life out of people. Your environment is going to control the success you have in your life. The ease at which people can get into sales and then, unfortunately, have low demands put on them by organizations, management, and other people. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about people being negative. I'm talking about people just having low demands for push. This can create by itself the most serious negative environment you can have. In my book, The 10X Rule, my plates here, 10X Rule, if you ever see those rolling around Miami Beach, that'll be me. I'm saying, look, man, get around some 10X people. Get around people that demand 10 times more. The average environment, the average of surrounded by a bunch of people that are average and all saying, yeah, I'm good. I'm making enough money. Yeah, we got a nice house. Life is good. Everything's fine. I'm good. I'm golden. As opposed to being around a bunch of people, I want more. I demand more. We got to do more. We can do more. Dude, which one of those environments you want to be in? You see, you really don't even label the first one as negative. No, it's not negative. It's worse than that. It's average. See, negative, you know. Guys walking around, I hate this and I hate that and I hate you and I hate everything and I hate the economy and I hate the president. I hate everything. I hate myself. He's easy, man. It's the average stuff. It's that average, mediocre, this middle class mentality that everything's going to be fine if I just have a good job and I just get insurance and I just get a nice fence around the yard and I got my dogs and I got my two kids and we got a good education and everything's gonna be fine. Look, all you gotta do is sit in front of a TV and see that the planet's negative. It's either negative or average, and I just told you average is worse. The problem with negativity anywhere is that it is a disease and should be treated as a disease. It's contagious by its very nature. It affects everyone in the vicinity. If you've ever seen negative people at a party, dude, you could feel it. You could feel the whole side of the room go freaking contaminated. I don't need a guy.